It is now time for the program, Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme. Sluggy the host is on the way, but fear not, we have the amazing co-host, Lashana. Good evening, Lashana.
Good evening and welcome to Bajan Rhythm and Rhymes. We have a packed show for you today. We have the Psychiatric Hospital joining us to talk about their program, Check My Bias. On Zoom, we have senior nurse Ryan Lewis, who will be sharing a bit about the program. So Ryan, can you tell us a bit about Check My Bias?
Good afternoon to StarCom. Good afternoon to the public. First of all, I just want to say thank you for having us on the Psychiatric Hospital to be a part of the program this evening. The Check My Bias campaign is an initiative of the Psychiatric Hospital of Barbados. And what it is aimed at creating a more understanding Barbados, one reflection at a time. So this campaign asks this question repeatedly. Is my perspective the whole story, or do I need to check my bias? And what this is a concept of placing our own thoughts on a jury stand, so to speak, to fact check them, subject them, and evaluate them to see if there are biases and preconceptions under scrutiny and evaluation that is distorting or skewing our perceptions about persons with mental illness and persons on a whole, how we treat persons. So in the context of Check My Bias, this concept involves encouraging persons to critically examine their beliefs, their attitudes, and their assumptions about mental health and those affected by it. So just like a jury in a trial weighs evidence and considers various perspectives before reaching a verdict, we are asking persons to do the same thing and to assess the validity and accuracy of their own thoughts, their perceptions regarding mental health and the stigma surrounding mental health. And by metaphorically placing our biases on trial, we challenge ourselves to confront these harmful beliefs that we may hold. In some instances, we are aware, and in others, we are not. So this process of self-examination or self-reflection aligns closely with the objectives of this campaign entitled Check My Bias. So we're seeking to raise awareness about the existence of bias, its impact on stigma and individuals, and encouraging individuals to fact check their own thoughts, their beliefs, and to promote self-awareness, empathy, and understanding.
And that is so, so beautiful what you just said, because we find in this society when persons, you know, speak about mental illness, there's this stigma around it, you know, there's a stigma around going to the psychiatric hospital. So how is the psychiatric hospital seeking to destigmatize mental health as well as mental illness using this campaign?
Well, the Check My Bias campaign, again, was inspired from the recognition that there is pervasive stigmas surrounding mental health, mental illness. And in some ways, there's a bit of a misnomer and a misunderstanding of what the two are. And they're actually quite distinct from each other. And mental health is a good thing, something that all of us have. Mental health is where we exist on a continuum as we go about our daily lives, from the time we get up in the morning to the time we close our eyes at night, from every life-changing phenomenon that we go through, from childbirth to retirement, sitting in an exam, going to an interview, always puts our mental health in check. And what this gives credence to is the advent of coping with these life challenges. Because when we don't cope is when we allow and the permeation of mental illness now to rise and affect us, where it stops us from being productive citizens in society, from not carrying out our roles as a mother, a professional, a friend, an institutional leader, even a society and a world leader. These things affect us, and it's not peculiar to one particular subset of society. So what we are trying to do is to get an all-of-society approach to dismantle the very facets of stigma that affects us as individuals, because mental health largely is a human right, a universal human right. Mm-hmm. It's something that we expect. It's something that should be understood. And we can only understand it by creating awareness. So by creating awareness, we're going to be campaigned. We'll have several workshops, strategies, social media campaigns, which we have commenced since March 11th. Mm-hmm. We're going to be featuring educational content, encouraging persons to share personal stories. We're going to have interactive challenges, community workshops. We're going to go around to different parts of the community, not just businesses and schools, but we're going to hit the corners of the rum shops where persons reside, where persons feel marginalized, where persons feel that they are more or less castigated, and getting them to understand, because they are the persons that make up the very construct of the Barbados that we know. So we cannot exclude them, and that would be remiss of the campaign to exclude them and not include them, because Check My Bias is an awareness of inclusivity.
Okay, and how can Barbadians become a part of the Check My Bias campaign?
Well, you can log on to our Facebook page at Psyche Hospital, PSYCHIHOSPITAL, and that's on Instagram, across all social media platforms for that matter. We'll be sharing things of how you can get engaged. You can contact myself at 536-3056 or 269-2075 and inquire how you can be a part of it. Because, as I said before, it's an all of a society approach. And the hospital welcomes the partnership of every person, entity, business, and even NGO. Quite recently this week, we had the awareness of World Down Syndrome Day on the 21st. And these are subsets of society that where stigma and stereotyping affects these persons. And while Down syndrome and autism may not be directly mental health disorders per se, because of their hard start, are their unique abilities of not being understood, then these persons too are subjected to stereotyping and stigma, which negatively affect them.
So how can we stop that stigma? Because we want persons to get help, you know, like mental illness, like any other illness, you know, you feel unwell, you seek help. And we find out with mental illness, seeking help is seen in a negative light. So how can we curb that, Mr. Nurse?
Well, we first have to get persons to take mental health as serious as we take physical health. Mm-hmm. And let's just speak about health in generality and not all of these different types of health. When you say you're going to get a health checkup, we want to regard you as every echelon and dimension of your being. So we want to address your mental health needs. We want to address your physical needs. We want to check you up from your social needs, your financial wellness, and all the different aspects of wellness, environmental wellness. All these are components that construct the determinants of health. So we can't neglect them and say, okay, I don't have mental health. I don't know what mental health is. I ain't got nothing to do with me, so I'm not going to check it. But the same way we go to polyclinics and get our checkups every 3-6 months, our dental appointments, we do the same thing. We want persons to do mental health checkups just like that. And I want to make a plug here that there are mental health clinics scheduled on respective days at every polyclinic throughout the island of Barbados. So you can log on to our social media pages and our websites as well and find out when these clinics do exist. Don't wait till when things become in a deteriorated fashion then to figure out or find out, how does this work? How do I do a check-in? So if you do a check-in from a preventative measure, then the less likelihood of you having to worry about a curative measure, or at least even if you deteriorate to a point that hospitalization is necessary, that you already know what numbers to call. Persons already know 211, 311, and 511. But let me ask a question bluntly. What is the hospital's psychiatric hospital's number? What is the assessment unit's number? Do you know of a mental health directory or who to reach out to should you have a mental health crisis in your community, in your home, in your school, at work? How do you best assist this person? And we want persons, this is the type of awareness that we want to bring towards this campaign as well.
And thank you so much for saying that, because as you said, you know, our mental health is connected to our physical well-being, and we need persons to take it seriously. What tips would you have for anyone out there listening who may want to be a part of the Check My Bias campaign? They may not know where to start, or a member of the youth who may be struggling with their mental health and may hear this and hear what you're saying and feel a bit inspired to know that there are people out there who are trained to help them.
Well, the psychiatric hospital is aimed at maintaining families, communities, individuals in their respective communities. We don't want prison to see hospitalization as a one-way street where that once you breach the gates of the psychiatric hospital that it is all over. Actually, we are here to help you and maintain you and ensure that you continue to be the productive citizens that you are. So engage us at some level and find out what services are available. We have services for drug rehabilitation and recovery. We have recreational therapy. We have social work services, psychological services. We have occupational therapy services. And as you spoke about tips, I just want to go through a few quite quickly. And that's one, educate yourself. Take an initiative to learn about mental health, the conditions, causes, the symptoms, the treatment. Because it's when we understand these facts that we can dispel all the myths and the misconceptions about mental health, mm-hmm. or mental illness for that matter. Because it's not a sign of weakness, it's not a character flaw. Like I said in the initial introduction of this discussion, is that mental health is all of us. And gone are the days where we see mental health as the street characters in town. Mm-hmm. They're not, those are not those persons. There are persons that you and I, and quite recently we all should have understood some tenet of mental health and illness when we experienced COVID-19. Because COVID-19 was a traumatic mm-hmm. experience. When we were under house arrest, so the uncertainty and the anxiety that came about from what would come about mm-hmm. from the ill effects of COVID, is it my time? That uncertainty that led to depression, anger, nonchalance, persons crying, persons lost their job, and having persons then to cope and dig deep to figure out how to mitigate this challenge and how to continue. The other thing is to reflect on your biases and to take a moment to adjust your attitudes towards mental health and mental illness, and to assert an open-minded self of your own person. Listen without judgment, where you practice active listening. A lot of things we usually do just hear to respond, and we don't actually listen to understand. So when somebody shares their experience about mental health, we want persons, every individual, to offer support and empathy without judgment or assumptions. Things about empathetic language and being mindful about the words that we use. Mm-hmm. Words have power, words have weight. Mm-hmm. And dependent on how we use our words can be very hurtful, damaging. And that damage and hurt can be quite irreversible in some instances. Yeah. So we want to challenge our stereotypes, but in promoting inclusivity, advocating for persons where the structural society about policies and our regulations that govern us as individuals, how we change those. In some instances, we may not have acknowledged things. Many years ago, we had a huge campaign about access Barbados. Mm-hmm. We made every building accessible by creating ramps for the differently able community to access businesses. So similarly, we want persons to understand, well, we want to include everybody and be a part of all the celebrations. We don't want to exclude you. Every business that has erected, be it on the online platform, how can we get the differently able community to be a part of that? Because when we just do things without acknowledging them, then we exclude them inadvertently. And that may be unconscious, but we need to bring to light how we are excluding them and dismantle those biases as well. So, and again, to get persons to share their personal stories and normalize the topic and the conversation about mental health and mental illness. Too long have this topic been taboo and be whisper conversations in corners, and we need to get it regular tabletop conversations, such as these forums.
Nice.
And lastly, I just want everybody to stand in solidarity and lead by example. Because when we do know better, then we should actually do better.
So, Brian, before you go, I got a question. You think that things like therapy should be more common?
It should be regularized. Okay, let's go back to COVID as I briefly brought up.
Yeah.
COVID was a traumatic experience for everybody, regardless of whether we say so or not. It was indeed. We could be in denial about it. Some of us may have been better able to cope with the outcomes of COVID, and some of us have not. Some of us lost jobs and are yet to actually fully recover financially, socially, psychologically, and physically. Mm-hmm. This person spoke about long COVID. So It's not, it's going to, this campaign is not going to be a one-time fix. It's going to be a continuation where we constantly have to purport and encourage persons to reevaluate themselves, reevaluate society as a whole. Throughout the COVID, we did a seek and save about COVID, where we went to the communities and see where the deficits reside, where persons were hiding and suffering in silence. We need to assert a similar exercise where mental health is concerned. And we need to find the overlaps and the dependencies which affect mental health, like the social determinants, because there's a lot of overlaps between homelessness and social declination and mental health. Because persons are not getting access to jobs, access to welfare, access to things that actually allows you to manage the basic physiological needs of yourself, like getting food, shelter, and clothing. So we need to deepen and get all the different NGOs involved. It's an all of society effort and not just the professionals doing all the work and so on. We need to get everybody involved.
Nice, I love it. Mr. Ryan Lewis, part of the psychiatric hospital team, senior nurse. I think that this was well done today. I'm sure everyone understands the mission, and you most certainly have our support here, at VOB, especially myself and Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme crew. And I think that these conversations, Lashana, are certainly needed. Ryan mentioned COVID, then we could even mention sometimes the environment you come up in. Everybody don't got the ideal situation.
True.
Some things could be a bit tough in your formative years when you're coming up, your neighborhood, your surroundings, your schools, your family. Some people got families that, they might not be the best and might not be what they like. Might not be no fault of the families either. The family might never went through any sort of therapy or counseling. So from these conversations, it shows me that mental health is as important as the physical health. And somehow we gotta find a way.
Yes, definitely.
To make it, to make that a standard, that mental health is just as important as the physical health. Right, we're gonna be having much more conversations as it go along. So thank you so much for agreeing to do this. And I look forward to speaking to you again, where
Yes,
you can come
definitely.
and share some more information. Of course, we've got many more to do, many more platforms. So thank you so much for agreeing to coming on board and spreading this information to Barbados and take it in with your busy schedule. So we want to thank you so much for coming on this evening.
Well, thank you again for having the Psychiatric Hospital involved and taking the time to acknowledge our efforts, our mission. And of course, this is not a trend. This is not nothing to become viral, but this is something that we want to be normalized as well. So I just want everybody in the studio to join with me quickly and just take this pledge that I pledge to check my own biases, to educate myself, promote empathy and understanding for all, where together we can create a more inclusive and supportive Barbados, one reflection at a time.
Yes, please. Mr. Ryan Lewis, thank you so much. Psychiatric Hospital, have a great evening. Now, Lashana,
Yes, please.
we have some special guests on the Zoom, right? Wait, we have someone on the inside.
Yes, we
Say
have some people on the inside.
We've been occupied, we're not
Yes,
keeping his
so
family,
we have
keeping the guests.
the guy here. His real name is Ramon Blackman,
You
but he
gave him
goes by
something.
Ray, and he done the show Thursday night with his piece Search Warrant. It's not viral. We posted on Portree's TikTok, and it got 14,000 views in less than 24 hours.
That we're talking about,
the
man.
Ladies have been messaging him. They have been asking him, if they can get searched too. I mean, he done the show. Him, Stivers the Third. We also had Sun Ra and Ruby Tech, and a young poet, Malachi Hope, who did amazing piece, Sluggy. If you were there, you would have enjoyed it. We can't speak about it on air, but definitely that piece was amazing as well.
You
It spoke about
can't
his
speak
piece
without
spoke
air.
about prescription drugs and how,
Okay.
you don't like the other drugs, natural herbs, but you
Yes.
like, the prescription drugs. And he went into facts and statistics and so on. very nice piece. But yes, Ray,
I want to hear from Ray. Mm-hmm. How was the experience? And before we do that, I just want to say salutes to the Barbados Cadet Corps.
Yes,
and celebrating their 120th.
Yeah,
120th, and they're doing it all year. I attended the march past in town. You know, saw the children in their different uniforms. And look so lovely. So you just want to say a salute to them.
Yeah. I also want to say a special salute to the #2 cadet company at Lord School. If you're here from Lord School, big up yourself.
Yeah, salutes to Lord School, your #2 company. And mm-hmm. Lord School is actually the first cadet company in Barbados. So salutes to the Lord School.
Even though that com mayor got #1, I know they get that work out.
Nah. Carson. Harrison get #1 because them in town. Colmer just is at like #1. But Harrison College actually #1. Colmer is #3.
Do not tolerate this Colmer slander.
No, Colmer is #3. It's slander. Colmer is #3.
Big up to Colmer winning BSAC.
1, 2, and 3 in the house.
Yeah. Big up to Colmer for winning BSAC as well.
Yeah, salute to Colmer. Yes, I'm, you know, salute to my son. My son goes to Colmer, so he can. It can't push a comment here. That's me dog right there.
No problem.
Now, today we can have some ladies mm-hmm. who are the first female cadets. We can have a conversation with them soon.
Yeah.
The first female cadets on the island. That had to be an experience. Mm-hmm. And we can have a conversation with them. I think all we have Captain Michael Jules on standby as well. We're mm-hmm. going to have a conversation with them soon. But first, I want you to talk to your poet and ask him about the experience. And then I want him, before mm-hmm. we talk to these ladies, I want him to do something that he could dedicate
on
the
air.
That he could dedicate to these ladies.
Well, he doing something that brought back the show. So we have a plan here, right, Sluggy?
Yes.
But he do his introduction piece, right, called Rewrites. And when you hear this piece, you got beat up in here. You got look for some peeling to beat up. But Ray, tell the people of VOB, talk to the people.
How was it? How was the experience, man? Headlining and the push you seeing for poetry, you know, the mm-hmm. current that poetry getting, electricity poetry getting, you know, man. How all of that feel?
He was one of our amazing guest performers by special request. Mm-hmm. The people requested him back. After the first show, you know, our headliner was Sun Rock, but they requested Ray. I got so many messages saying if Ray ain't performing, them ain't coming. So we had no choice but to put Ray back, and Ray blew it out the park. So Ray, tell us a bit, how was it performing at Poetry on World Poetry Day?
Hey, good evening, everyone. It was phenomenal. I honestly appreciate the encore that I got, and I was happy to perform again. In fact, I'm looking forward to whenever the next one is.
But tell me a bit about the experience, because after you perform, you got the first encore of the night, and following that performance, you know, there was a giveaway, you know, Empress Zynga and DJ were there, who were our Poetry Barbados Griot awardees. Tell me a bit about how it feels now. I know your phone has been blowing up the last 2 days with ladies that have said all sorts of things. So tell me, how has the experience been for you?
Man, from beginning to end, it's been like a movie, honestly. I'll start at the beginning of the show when mm-hmm. we were doing the sound check. I was going through with Cupid, and I could not remember the second half of my piece. So it's all right, take a step back and, you know, hit one or two more rehearsals, and after that, I was ready. And then to feel the energy from the people that were there, I mean, the audience, it was... The ambience was there and fed off of their energy, and it just let loose.
I don't think that he's telling you the real thing, Sluggy. Sluggy, listen, this man came in dressed like a SWAT team member with a spotlight and walked through the crowd, you know. Walked through the crowd and said he doing a search warrant and had the women in a tizzy. He ain't painting the picture for you guys how he came through the audience dressed as a SWAT team officer with a spotlight.
Was it behind that? Behind all of that?
I am not saying anything.
That's all me. the thing about being a creative is not just one dimensional. You gotta look at every dimension. It's like you select the piece first, and then it's like, how do I complement this piece? How do I deliver my message to get a particular effect? So it was like, all right, it's called search warrant. All right. Police uniform. okay, I can't get an actual police uniform, so I got improvised one. Mm-hmm. So you know when you see these DEA raids, that's mm-hmm. coming with the blue jeans, they got the black tank tops and a bulletproof vest with a skull cap. So is it all right? Mm-hmm. I could get those things. Maybe not the bulletproof vest.
Man, they dress like Shamar Moore and SWAT.
Maybe not the bulletproof vest, but weighted vest look close enough. And mm-hmm. if you don't look close enough, you ain't going to tell the difference. All that you need is a police
Facts.
Sticker.
Facts.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about the piece. The audience went wild when you started with the piece. And at the end, we had a lady that jumped on the stage saying that, you know, she wanted to be searched. Sluggy. It was wild. So tell me a bit about that experience. And then, you know, we want to hear this intro piece that the persons at the show requested you to do again, times three.
Well, that experience was wild. That was definitely mm-hmm. a first for me. Mm-hmm. I do appreciate the fact that the delivery of the piece itself got the reaction that mm-hmm. it was hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm grateful that everyone that heard it like enjoyed the piece and still forwarding it up to know. But yeah, that lady that jumped on the stage, lost part of her shoe. That was definitely a first. Yeah. I know she was not searched. She just received a prize.
Yes, she received a gift voucher. Well,
this was for a prize?
Yes. We asked someone to come up that wanted to be searched. You know, I was the MC, so I had a lot of fun, I must say. But she got a $150 gift voucher, compliments wellness by Stan.
She was willing to be searched?
She was more than willing.
What was the premise for the prize?
The premise for the prize was who uh-huh. wants to be searched.
And the lady bumped by Ray. Stage.
And she jumped on stage. She lost her shoe, everything.
Listen, man. Prizes were given away. Every 5 minutes, prizes were given away.
Ray, you are well.
I'm not the well one. Yes. I walked off of the stage normally.
Yeah, we had security and thing. All right. So, Ray, you have a piece called, we call it Ray Writes. It's your intro piece. This piece is done the first show. The second show, the audience requested you to perform it again. So Ray, please let the VOB listeners hear this piece. Ray writes.
See, my circle calls me Ray and they say that I could write. But the whole reason that Ray writes is to express Ray's rights in a way that can only be told in a script that Ray writes. Mm-hmm. Far from a saint, but I was still raised right. Rep black power, black fist on my raised right. Arm to the teeth, come at me, get raised right. Wherever you stand or sit from the bar, spitting raised mic. But some people ask me, why Ray? Like, how do you get the name? It's because I'm a ray of light that pierces the darkest storm clouds. That brief respite, I'm the glow of the moon on the darkest night. I'm not cocky, I just know my worth and my might. You could call me Ramon instead. It's whichever you like. Mm-hmm. Just know that they're one and the same. And this playwright creates wordplay, but I don't play when I write. It all comes from the heart, and I press play right after that last full stop. Flames don't rehearse, we just shine bright. And I got my eyes from my mother, mm-hmm. looks from my dad, but brains and temper from both, so I'm a smart bomb. You're toast without the cheers if you test me. No chairs, have a seat on the ground and see that nothing is buttered up. More snapdragon than buttercup, but I bloom full just long and wide enough on the earth to etch my name before the end game. Never say die, that's my claim to fame. No reversing like a messed up transmission, you don't see it. Just listen, just living, just spitting, just giving the blind vision through sound waves, waving all the rights to limitations, the lefts to, and break right through that box you're accustomed to, because nobody can do you the way you do. That's my conversation with the mirror, fogging it up with a speech, but seeing clearer than ever whether or not the weather is bright or stormy. See, I train in the rain, I'm in the army, but I got my own spark, no wind up needed to start me. I am too well grounded, lightning can't harm me. The turn switch sees, this train can't stop a hard B. Walk through life's bloodbaths, got red bottoms like Cardi B, but I am RB. More than just the initials, I have the meats. Fought long, hard battles, no retreats. I'm like a northbound conductor, spikes tongue with seats. hustling hard, but I still dress neat in slacks and shirt jacks with pressed in pleats. Dressed to kill, but the only weapon is tongue and teeth. Spitting bare-chested bars, tenders, duck underneath like Chaffette specials. You don't want no beef, chief. Whether it's in life or on the mic, only greatness awaits me.
You see why the women ask for you to come back again.
Yeah, yeah, that's what we're talking about, man. Big up Ray, right?
So Ray, you mentioned something. We got the cadet corps online. Uh-huh. But you mentioned that you're in the army. Were you a part of the cadet corps as well?
Yes, I was.
So you are in the army?
Yeah. Yes, I am.
Tell them your position in the army. The listeners on VOB, all that WhatsApp must be crazy.
Not yet, just now, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. What's your position in the army?
I'm a lieutenant, and I am the assistant logistic officer for the force.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice, man. Biggest to you.
How old are you, sir?
I'm 35. Mm.
Tell us a bit about your experience in the cadet corps.
Young man.
Well, I joined the cadet corps from when I was in school, 2000 to 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And initially, it was like, it's all right.
Mm-hmm.
And then the persons that were marketing at that time, so you get to shoot. I was like,
one of our people last week mentioned that they used to get the youngsters. Yes. See the positive in everything.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that was just like an interest of mine, because I'm not inherently a violent person, but the prospect of getting the chance to shoot a weapon intrigued me. But then as I continued in the corps, I just fell in love with the whole idea of it, the discipline, the structure, and the camps were fun, and you learned a lot. It's more than just the drill and the left, right. It teaches you a lot about life, about having structure to your life, how to speak to people, because as you go up in the ranks, you become an instructor, you have to teach classes to younger people. It gives you that level of confidence.
As a young person yourself, being a leader and having to teach persons your age or younger, I can see how that's a confidence booster for sure.
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And that leads us into, I see my school t-shirt on the Zoom. Miss Redmond, how are you?
I know you catch Miss Redmond off guard. Captain, or you can bring in Captain Michael.
I can hear him
introduce.
I'm fine, thank you. I couldn't get unmuted. Oh, sorry.
Okay, how are you doing? I was told that you're one of the first female cadets on here.
You don't know that?
No, I did not. She taught me social studies at the beautiful law school.
That's a name that everybody knows, right?
Yeah.
And the captain tell me that was like,
whoa.
It made sense
because Miss Redmond had a lot of discipline in class. Like, you had to come correct to class or don't come.
So you feel the cadets had to help.
Yeah, for true.
But you said a lot of discipline. What do you mean?
She cut enough tail? But she never cut my tail. So I have to give that disclaimer. Oh. But when you come to class, you know, there was certain etiquette of how to close the desk, how you carry yourself as a young lady.
The cadet class?
No, it was not a cadet class. Social studies.
Oh, this is social studies?
Yes, you had to come correct to social studies. Discipline starts.
Let me get the captain and introduce the guest first. Because Miss Redwood, we got some questions for you straight away. Because when you're talking, all you're talking was a cadet class or something.
No, but girl, I'm trying to say
this was a social studies
class.
But
you had to come correct.
Imagine a social studies and you got to go through all this here. But you had to be dressed properly.
Straight. You had to be dressed properly to come any class. You had to have on your belt. You know, things of that nature.
The classroom had to be clean.
Had to be clean and tidy. Anything on the floor, class can't start. You got to clean it.
Imagine school for social studies.
Better, listen.
And the class can't start because the floor dirty.
And the respect, because so many students at the law school, when we knew that we had social studies with Miss Redmond, the whole class would get clean.
So Captain, bring me here. Sorry for our rudeness. Let me bring you here. Captain, please introduce all of your guests on the Zoom. We still have about four people on the Zoom. please introduce your guest captain and let us know who they are.
Yes, good evening and to everyone.
A great show this morning. Great show this morning.
Yes, thank you very much. I must say from the outset that the cadets really came out and showed out.
Well, yes.
We had a great parade this morning that marched through Bridgetown. Initially, the cadets, and there were some concerns about the route, and we said we would complete the route in about an hour and a half. However, we stepped off at 1,000 hours, and at 1,100 hours, we were back at Harrison College. So I think the cadets got really excited and enthused and performed extremely well. The commandant is extremely proud. Everyone is extremely proud of the cadets. They really showed out in Bridgetown. I want to commend the parents as well.
Yes.
We had a lot of tourists on the route.
Yes.
The tourists were very keen. They asked a lot of questions. They took
along.
A lot of photos. So.
Walk along with the
I'm sure.
That was beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah,
so cool. I think the cadet corps really got a lot of kudos today.
Yeah.
And it went quite viral. So not just Barbados, but I'm sure that those photos will be traveling around the world. However, no, we don't have much time. I want to commend a past cadet, Ramon Blackman, as you heard, he is a member of the Barbados Defense Force. He came right out of the Barbados Cadet Corps.
Awesome.
And we are very proud of him and all the others who have gone the route of coming from the Cadet Corps and choosing the military as a career path. And that's one of the things about the Barbados Cadet Corps and the Barbados Defense Force. If you didn't know, the Barbados Cadet Corps is the youth arm of the Barbados Defense Force. So we have the Barbados Regiment, the Barbados Coast Guard, and the Barbados Cadet Corps. So that's the youth arm.
Mm-hmm.
And we encourage the cadets to see the military as a viable career. And I'm sure if you got the chance to speak with Lieutenant Blackman, he'll tell you that's it's a pretty good career to get involved in.
Mm-hmm.
Funny thing.
The
funny
two thing, ladies sir. We have.
Go ahead.
Funny thing, sir. First of all, thank you.
You're welcome.
You know who it is, right?
Yes, Lieutenant Blackman, of course.
How are you doing, sir?
I am well. And yourself?
I'm great. I just wanted to thank you.
Yes, you were. Oh, you're quite welcome, my man. I'll meet up with you on the domino table shortly. nevertheless, the...
It's true. They want to get back the title from me, right?
Can I get?
Not so easy.
Yeah. So... I must commend, I want to first of all acknowledge the ladies who, they're just two of the four are here, and I'll give them the opportunity to speak, Mary Redmond and Angela Lashley. However,
I'm here too, Captain Jules. I came late, but I'm here too.
Major Margot Green, yes.
I'm here.
So, I want to say, and I'll let them speak, that Mary Redmond also taught me at the Lodge School. So when I heard a young lady saying that she went to the Lodge School and she was taught by Mary Redmond,
I couldn't wait. You that young or she was teaching
you? No. I am that young and she came in young as well. We had some great reminiscing this afternoon after the parade. But I want to say that Mary Redmond did teach me at the Lodge School, and it's my pleasure and it's my honor to have these ladies on this show to talk about the creation of history as the first females in the Barbados Cadet Corps. And they will tell the story. I cannot tell that story. So I'm going to turn over to them and let them tell the story of how they became the first females in the Barbados Cadet Corps.
Yes, and how did it help them in life? Because you hear these stories by LaShawn and others, obviously. So you want to know how the idea came about, joining the Cadet Corps and mm-hmm. feeling the pressure, if it was, of being the first, and then how did it help to change their lives? And anyone can go first, but I'm extremely thankful to have all of you. That's the truth. 120 years is anything to sneeze at, you know what I mean?
Like, it's true.
That's a historic achievement, so salutes to all of you. And I guess Mary could go first.
Well, thank you for having
me. St. Shady Hot Seat.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome.
Just to say that when we joined, I don't think we had the idea of creating history.
Well, this is Miss Lashley.
I think we were just attracted. Yes, please.
Well, awesome.
We were just attracted to Angela. Mm-hmm. We were just attracted to the uniform and the precision with which mm-hmm. the guys did the drill. Mm-hmm. The fact that they were academic as well as good at cadetting mm-hmm. and we enjoyed all of that, and we felt that we wanted to be a part of it. A lot of the senior cadets were in the sixth form with us at Combermere, mm-hmm. and we respected how they commanded respect in the cadet corps on Friday afternoons after school. So we enjoyed that aspect of it. Some of us liked the uniform as well, and we thought that the boys looked very attractive in it, and that was part of the attraction, that we liked that uniform, we liked the shoes, we liked how they looked in it, and we liked the fact that they were very precise about the drill.
Nice. Awesome. And you said, ma'am, that at the time, you weren't that aware, or the focus wasn't on we are the first set of ladies to come in. You said at first that wasn't the focus, you wasn't aware of that at the time.
I don't think that entered our consciousness mm-hmm. In the sense that we didn't set out to be the first.
Okay.
But we knew there were many cadets in there, but we didn't set out to, you know, create a situation where we were the first of anything. We just wanted to be a part of the cadets. Mm, okay, so
awesome.
Later on, I guess it dawned on us that we created history, but yeah. Very much later on. Yes.
that's awesome. Ma'am, you could still remember the first day you joined?
I beg your pardon?
You can still remember the first day you joined, and how was that first day of joining cadets, and how was that feeling, that experience?
Yes, I can remember the first day we had around Combermere, around the parade square. Mm-hmm. Almost the entire school was there. I'm sure Margot and the others remember that too. Everybody was watching who wasn't a cadet, because for us to turn out, you know, it was something else. It was a spectacle.
That was at our passing out parade. I think that was at our passing out parade, was the first time the whole school came out. Combermere was a very supportive school of our efforts. But Mary should tell the story of
the first girls.
Yes, it is.
We all learned to Combermere.
Damn.
I think the efforts of Dayton Maynard and Patrick Skeet. And Mary will tell you that she is a brave one who went to speak to the head of the, what was then the Barbados Regiment, mm-hmm. Colonel Banfield, a fearsome character, in order for us to get permission to join the Cadet Corps. When we were told that we would have to speak with him, I think we got a little intimidated. But Mary, with her bold self, went on her own And she should be able to tell you that story.
She went on her own?
And she was the one able to convince it. She went on her own. Yeah, she was. She was determined that the same thing we were going to stick away.
The others backed out. Connie Banfield had the reputation of being very stern and rough and using colorful language.
Yeah.
So when the others heard that, they backed out. And I said, I am going.
He did.
And I went, and he turned out to be one of the most charming gentlemen that you could ever hope to meet. And he was very, very supportive of the idea. He said, of course, it was novel because we were, in fact, the first female cadets
in the military
region. Yes, in the Caribbean.
We were the first in the military in Barbados, first females in the military. We go
military,
beyond
yes.
the cadet corps. We were the first mm-hmm. in the military. There were no females in the military before us.
Wow,
amazing. Yes, it is a major step, and I think Combermere should be congratulated heartily on opening a door that had been closed. Dayton Maynard, I always call him the quiet revolutionary, mm-hmm. and Patrick Skeet.
We went
to them and begged. We come from foundation school, and there were no cadets there. I'd never even seen a cadet. And when we went to Combermere and we saw this wonderful revolution on a Friday afternoon, the last two periods on a Friday afternoon, mm-hmm. when the boys went on the parade square, and the discipline, and they were treated, the most senior cadets, Patrick Skeet, Benjamin Cummins, they were treated like adults by the staff at Combermere School at that time. So I was quite blown away by that. And there was CQMS Paris, who used to hand out rifles on a Friday afternoon. Mm-hmm. There was an armory, and he was in charge of the weapons as schoolboy. On a Friday afternoon, he handed out the weapons and made sure that they were brought back in. And I was quite impressed by that. And I think that is part of why we wanted to join cadets. I think Mary and Marlene liked the drill. I think they were attracted to the drill.
I was so much shooting. We used to.
I like the shooting. I like that range.
Yeah.
All the time. I think a lot of our shots didn't go on the target somehow. People sheep who used to park. There used to be people sheep who used to be on the range behind.
Hey, yours, Margo. Mine went on the target.
It is not easy. It's only then I realized that it's not easy to shoot a rifle. It looks real easy on TV, but let me tell you, many a time we finish shooting and you go to your target and it is clean, or there's a little hole at the bottom left corner. But it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. They did a lot in cadets. You learned a lot.
Who is that say that yours, Margo, mine went on the target? That's Mary, right? That's Miss
Mary said she went on the target.
Don't mind Margo. Margo has to speak for herself. Mine went on the target. As a matter of fact,
yeah, you're going to target, but on the park, the target is supposed
no,
to.
No, but listen,
not the black one, not the black
keeping company, keeping close company with Bullseye. As a matter of fact, I was on the old scholars rifle team with the old cadets versus the present cadets for 3 years after I left school.
Margo, don't forget that. yeah, that's true. That's true. I think they want a token woman, but nevertheless, Mary enjoyed shooting. But we had a wonderful time.
I think that
we used to do.
Everybody
we used to do weekend exercises. You remember? We did weekend exercises, walking all over Barbados. We would take these. You had to plot your route
mm-hmm.
from Commonwealth School and leave on a Friday afternoon. Walk to the first place that you would, where you would be doing your overnight, your bivouac, as they call it, your overnight. And then you got up the next morning and followed your map. All you had was a map, and there was no adult cleaning you.
And sleep here.
And go to. You slept. You had sleeping bags, but the one you slept on the ground on wherever it is. The first one we went to was one to the East Coast, and we stopped halfway in Bizics. And we slept in an old plantation house. It really was a ruin. And we slept there on sleeping bags.
Wow.
And you folded up the very thin sheets or ground sheets. Mm-hmm. You folded up those sheets and left next morning and continued on your way to your final destination. But you had to plan the route beforehand using your map work skills that you would have learned as a cadet and reach your destination. And Colonel Maynard used to be there to make sure that you had followed your map correctly and that you were where you were supposed to be. And then you had to build a shelter, and you had to build a shelter that was supposed to protect you then to sleep for the second night. But we were, I don't know if the other girls remember Bubba White. He was our corporal.
Bubba White
didn't really pay much attention to building any shelter. He walked around all over the East Coast that day, drinking the sea, quick platforms. And every time we ask him, but are we not supposed to build a shelter? He said, yeah, man, we can get little coconut branches and think we can build something. I think he thought it was good, that the weather would continue to be nice.
Uh-huh.
We built the shelter with the coconut leaves and some brick and some sticks and whatever. But as would be our luck, when Dr. Maynard came, because he would come to you'll be graded. And marked on the size and state of your shelter.
Oh.
And there were about 25 of us.
Mm-hmm.
When he came to inspect our shelter, it started to rain. And I mean rain, downpour, rain, wash away everything. There were we standing up, the juggle, soaking wet, and having to stand at attention. All the water's pouring off. Yeah. It's pouring off of you,
yes,
and he is holding in his mouth and trying not to laugh. I know he wanted to laugh. He must have looked a sorry sight. Soaked in his skin. All the shells, all the coconut leaves, and so all swollen around our feet. And no shelter to be seen. And he is Corporal White. Where is the shelter? I don't see it. I don't see any shelter. Where we were standing in the open, where is the shelter? And I think he left us there. We slept under the benches that night at East Coast Road, and there were Barbadians picnicking up there, and they felt sorry for us and offered us food and all that.
But
we were so tired.
You would have slept on the
benches? We slept on them benches on the East Coast. Mm. Pardon me?
You would have slept on the benches?
Yes, you know, they had picnic benches going up the hill.
So, this is one of the first time doing a camp like this? Or when I already had experience doing camp?
That was my first weekend exercise. That's the first one I remember.
Whether this was your first one and Mary as well, this is each of you all first?
It was my first.
And then from there we walked to St. Andrew's. It was lovely. We walked to St. Andrew's Church in the next morning. We were so tired. I remember lying down on a grave, and this father was telling me, but that's a grave. I said, listen, I'm just too tired. I can't be bothered. Just lay down and slept. And then the regiment will send a truck to collect you to take you back to Combermere School.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a driver called Shines. I remember his name was Shines.
Mm-hmm.
He would always collect you from these destinations. And you know, you're all boys.
Mm-hmm.
He would be, you know, I think the trucks, he'd be doing all this, backing down and doing the gears, and the boys be, yeah! And Shines be taking us through some serious hills and saying, Andrew, doing this foolishness. You say to yourself, I just walked to hell and get back to Converse School intact. But the boys will have a great time. They loved it, sitting on the back of this truck. And Shine's going all over the place, backing down and gearing up and zoom, vroom, going up, making all those noises with the bus, and the boys are shouting in the back. It's not boys had a great time. You'll go back to Combermere School, then you get there about midday on Sunday,
uh-huh.
and then you either take the bus home or your parents collect you, and that was the end of your weekend exercise, and I think you'll be exhausted.
Cool. Listen, Angela.
But it was wonderful, Angela, absolutely wonderful.
It won't Angela because yes. Mary and Margot actually got in peace. So it won't Angela. Because Angela said it was lovely. Mary laughing, saying she was one of the shooting team or Scottish team. Angela, at any point in this, you do ever look at these two ladies who was your friend at the time and felt like abandoning them? You felt like running and leaving them?
Well, I was not in the group with Margot. My
We had a tent.
We actually had a tent as our thing. But the thing that happened was that we didn't know that when water settled in the middle of a tent, that if you poked it with a finger, the water would come through. So we were soaked too, but we didn't start out wet. We learned by trial and error that you don't touch the water in the middle of the tent with your finger while it was raining. So we got wet too. Everybody was wet, but we actually enjoyed the night because we a lot of the boys talked. You know, we didn't do a lot of sleeping, but we did a lot of talking and so on, and we dried out and. You learn how it was to stay in clothes for 3 days. Stay in the same thing for 3 days.
Listen, boy, that had to be an experience that could certainly make you feel like...
It was.
Because going through that as a chili, right, Angela? When you start to get a certain age, make you feel like, man, I could go through anything. You can't name something. Going through that made you feel like, man, I can handle anything. Because that's a bit rough for such a young age.
Yeah, I believe we just enjoyed it. Nice. We enjoyed it for what it was worth at the time.
Yeah.
And I felt that I was a sheltered child and that, you know, I wasn't exposed to these rough things.
Mm-hmm.
But in the moment, we enjoyed it. And nice. We didn't feel like... drop out simply because of those experiences. That was part of learning to be a real cadet. And we enjoyed it.
That's lovely, Angela. Well said. So Miss Redmond, would you say all of these experiences, because I've heard more than one person spoke about the type of teacher you were. Would you say that these experiences in things like cadets and the training you went through helped to shape who you, the person you became as an adult? And influence the way you move as an adult?
Yes, I would say that definitely. And the groundings that we had at Girls Foundation School at the time,
mm-hmm.
it was a very disciplined, very organized environment. And so to make the transition to become cadets did not intimidate us. We saw what it represented and we felt yes. And the thing is, at the time, what was happening internationally was the whole women's lib movement. And we essentially were influenced by that and we felt if the boys could be so good at this cadetting, certainly we could try it and be successful too.
Nice.
And we went ahead and we did, and we learned it. It created a sense of discipline. It was definitely character building. You learned respect for authority because some of those same boys that would have been barking instructions at us on the parade square would have been sitting next to us in class, you know, just before. And so to make that transition, it was really an eye-opener for us, a learning experience. And it helped to build your self-confidence as well, because in a way, there were some people that were looking for us to fail, and we didn't. We had a point to prove, and we did so. And I think that we've all taken that into our lives in terms of a sense of confidence, discipline, and understanding, respect, self-respect, respect for others.
If I may,
of course,
I may interject at this point, I know that Major retired Margot Green, she's quite silent when it comes to speaking about her give back. And this is something that we have found with some of the cadets. They came back. So they came through the ranks of the cadet corps, and some went on, like Lieutenant Blackman, to join the military. Some decided they want to give back to the Barbados Cadet Corps. So Major Green is one of those who made her contribution to the Barbados Cadet Corps. And as you hear, I'm saying Major retired Margot Green. So I would love for Major Green to speak to her give back to the Barbados Cadet Corps.
Yes. So that's lovely. Major Green?
Okay. Yes. I joined the Officer Corps of the Barbados Cadet Corps as an adult in order to assist with the training of cadets, because I felt that cadets have given me so much that the least I could do was lend my skills. And so I work with persons like Captain Jules and some selfless, very selfless persons who were officers in the who are officers in the Barbados Cadet Corps, who work tirelessly, give of their energy, give of their time. After a lot of them are teachers, and they give of their time without very much pay to train young Barbadian cadets. And they're taught many skills, separate and apart from just the drill. There used to be a dinner at the end of every year, so they would know how to conduct themselves as a proper military dinner. You taught them to sit at the table and not be intimidated by the silverware or the glassware that's on the table or the china. So you taught them several skills. So cadets expanded to teach young children far more than what I had learned when I was a cadet myself. I can't remember how long I was an officer for. I think probably about 10 years. But it was wonderful working with other officers like Captain Jules. And I think it is a selfless service that not very many Barbadians know about. But some of those officers work really hard with the companies to which they have been assigned. When we were cadets, there were only three companies, as Harrison College, Combermere, and the Lord's School. But the Cadet Corps has now been expanded to be a part of several other schools, many of them not the traditional grammar schools. So those officers, were not for those officers, you could not have children being exposed to the Cadet Corps in schools that were not the traditional grammar schools. So kudos to them, and I wanted to be a part of it, and I wanted to help. I was chairing a school board, and I went to a parade at the Barbados Defense Force, and Colonel Dayton Maynard saw me and asked if I would assist at that time, and I said yes, and that was it. Along with him and Major Skeet, persons like Captain Jules, I joined the Officer Cadet Corps, and that was it, and worked with the cadets. I was there for about 10 to 12 years, going to camps.
Awesome.
Making sure we had problems with our status at that time, making sure that the status was regularized legally, and assisting in any way that I could. And that too was a very good experience.
No, that's awesome, man. Salute, ma'am, to you and all the others that you said would give up this time, selflessly give up of their time and effort. It's a beautiful thing. And it for the youth, for you know, like, this is such an important part of our culture. When you mentioned just now, not feeling intimidated by the silverware, you know, by the cutlery, you know that as a boy that could be a big thing for a boy. You know, you go to a certain setting with family or friends or get invited to certain places.
Exactly.
And as simple as that may sound to the public, ma'am, that can be so intimidating for a boy, you know, especially if you're wrong, certain people,
that
especially
is,
if you're wrong, your friends and your peers that might know, or your wrong girl that you may like, and you not knowing which fork to take up, something so simple, which knife to use.
Exactly.
So those things could really could really play with a boy.
Embarrass you. Yeah. That's when
it. Yeah, no, it can't.
Those young cadets are taught. I mean, the military dinners that were held by the cadet corps were done just as they are done in the defense force. Mm-hmm. You had to come early. You had to make sure that you check the chart to make sure where you were sitting and who was sitting on either side of you. You went into dinner and that door was closed. If you got there late, that is it. You're not coming in. And you also were taught that you had to speak to your guests on your right, welcome your guests and be welcoming to the guests on your right, and then be welcoming to the guests on your left, and when to interchange so that if you're sitting, you know how to make small talk. they were taught so much, and they brought in experts to teach them about you know, dinner etiquette. They brought in experts. All those little children from all over the place who were cadets were taught that. Again, programs organized by officers like Captain Jules. It is a service that is never mentioned, but it's a critical service. In order for that march to come off this morning, all those officers would have had to work overtime to organize their units, make sure they had their uniform, make sure that their parents were told when they had to assemble, in order for that march to be a success.
It's so true, right? You know, being involved with so many parades myself, like spent like 20 years on parades, like so many times, especially with watching the cadets over the 27 years on parade, right? You could tell that the staff, the officers and so on, but have to work overtime. We can't call it overtime, because overtime is get paid for.
Right? Yes.
You have to give up their own time. sometimes, you know, you will come here on the evenings, and certain men will tell you that was there from yesterday, and they weren't on duty. They already were. They were just there from yesterday helping. With so many different aspects to the parade and so many different children, you have to get ready. And then they had to study overall parade too, because game section, okay, is all right. But for section good and the overall parade in as sharp as that section, it can still look horrible, you know, as we know. We need everyone to be on the same pitch. It gonna seem that if we all breathing the same way. And like you said, it's something that isn't that we don't speak about for sure. I'll be doing this long, I don't hear the conversation anywhere. It's something that we don't speak about, but it's such a important part of our culture, ma'am, to have these different organizations, you know, that could teach children certain things that they might not learn at school, they might not learn at home, they might not learn in church or socializing with their friends. So, you know, but they are important things in order for you to develop a certain way. So it's brilliant that we can have these things, and you all can share your stories. I want to thank all and everybody who gave me extra time. Give me extra time as well. So, Captain, I want to thank you and the ladies so much. And I want to beg if you all can please come back. Let me keep sharing some more stories. We're celebrating the 120th, the whole year, sir. And I want to ask if you and the ladies could come back and share some more stories, you know. And Margot, the people love you. Margot, people love your stories, Margot. The people love your stories. So. So we have to have you back. I just want to say,
Kevin.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Yes, Kevin. Yes, sir. Just let me say one. I'll try and be quick.
No problem.
One of the developments in the Barbados Cadet Corps is the establishment of a Barbados Cadet Corps headquarters. You would have heard that there were only three cadet companies at one point, and then when all the others started to form, we moved from three cadet companies in 1904 to 2024, where we now have 22 companies.
Nice.
And imagine, these companies have to be run, have to be managed. We have to look at all the logistics involved. So we have a Barbados Cadet Corps headquarters. We have a commandant. which you heard him speak, Commander David Durridge.
Yes.
We have a CEO, Major Alfred Taylor.
Yes.
So he's the man who really is in charge of the day-to-day running of the headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
We have people called permanent staff instructors, and these are soldiers who have been brought over to the cadet corps to lend their expertise in various areas, and they're really the we call them the kitchen or the engine room of the cadet corps, because those are the ones who work really hard on a daily basis. And I really want to commend those guys. We now have a corps warrant officer, Kelman, and he has a team of PSIs, and they are the ones who really make sure that things run. Mayors, Odell, Sergeant Gill, Sergeant Grant, that whole team, they make sure that things run on a day-to-day basis. So I couldn't leave without giving kudos to those guys for working very hard on a daily basis. And they cover the entire island.
Mm-hmm.
They go from school to school, from company to company, to make sure that everything is done, and it is done up to the required standard. So I just want to give kudos to all of those guys, to the Cadet Corps headquarters staff, for all the work they do. Of course, all of the officers who toil on a daily basis. And I can tell you, being an officer in charge of a company is like being a parent. You look after cadets. Most of the officers, they have group chats, and the parents will be bombarding you day in, day out, night in, night out. It is an endless task and responsibility. And I trust that, you know, the parents would really...
Captain,
yes.
we are not saying goodbye. We have the whole year. You have my promise on your life that we will have you many more times. 120 years isn't anything to sneeze at, and this is not
good. Thank you.
This is not no. You good. You like I tell you before, and I tell you again, you good. This is my civic duty, and it's something loved one from my heart. So you don't have to say your goodbyes. This is not your last thing that you'll be hearing from us, for sure. So thank you so much, and thank you so much to the ladies. You know, Miss Redmond. Thank you to Miss Lashley. Thank you so much, Captain, and thank you so much to
Miss Green.
Miss Green, mm-hmm. Miss Green, thank you so much. Miss Green's stories. Be lovely. And like I said, we'll be hearing from you again. And a salute to you on behalf of the nation and behalf of everyone. Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme. We love and appreciate you, ladies. We love and appreciate you, Captain Michael Jules. And like I said, you'll be hearing from me many more times. We have a lot, many more Saturdays to go. So thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, please. Looking forward to hearing you.
Thank you so much.
No problem, Captain.
Most welcome. Have a good night.
Same to you. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you. No, Ollie.
Thank you.
No, okay, Ollie. You do too. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, please. No. Ollie.
Yo, Sluggy. What's up?
This show, right? I saw some of the comments. Right. he is a lieutenant.
Mm-hmm.
He's a lieutenant.
Mm-hmm.
I saw some of these comments, right, Ollie?
Mm-hmm.
And the comments are crazy. No, you Ollie, take a deep breath in.
Yeah.
Just trying to. No, you take a breath in. All right, good. I can ask you a question, and then I can hush up. But I want mm-hmm. your honest take, right? And these are still young people. You know what I mean? Every sentence you word, especially mm-hmm. compared to you and myself age. People call us young, and these mm-hmm. young, these people far younger than you and I.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing it put on a production, Ollie, right? Seeing it put on a whole production, and then seeing all these different performers, different personalities hitting the stage, but then seeing all this passion, how was the show for you? How was the production of the show? And what were your takeaways as someone that loves seeing the arts? What were your takeaway. Sorry to answer some of the questions.
No, that's no problem, Slug.
I got to get this from you. I got to get this from you. Before, you
know what I mean? Also, we want to hear, you know, because we ain't here yet from Ollie, and Ollie get there early. Ollie was there bright and crispy. We ain't hear from he. He told me we get here today. So I hear listening eagerly.
I told Ashana I'm not telling her nothing.
He ain't tell me a word since Thursday. Not a word in English. He ain't give me since Thursday night.
Listen, write that, Ollie.
Nothing.
I can tell you that you're capping for the radio. That is Ollie.
Not a word in English.
Give it honest, but he can give it for the benefit of everyone to hear.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, man. I got there early, you know, really early, because they said the doors open at 7:30, so it was there earlier than that.
Yeah.
Coming up to 8 o'clock when the show was beginning to start, I realized there was a little delay.
Yes.
There wasn't as many people there.
Mm-hmm.
Bajans love to be late, boy.
Yes.
Bajans love to be late. Sluggy, man, I was looking for you. I was sitting in the back. I got there and I was sitting in the back. Mm-hmm. Shauna saw me and she had left my name at the door. So she dragged me. She said, I got a special seat for you in the front.
Yes, we had a comfortable chair. Tell them how comfortable that chair was. I was treated
like a king, man. I was treated like a king. But Sluggy, I was looking for you. I wish you were there.
Mm-hmm.
I got home at minutes to midnight. Sluggy.
What?
Minutes to midnight.
Yeah.
You didn't want to go home?
I'll tell you something. Not only did the people not want to go home, but the entertainers, because of the people. As the lieutenant was speaking earlier, the energy that was in that place. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I haven't had such a good time in a very, very long time.
Hear that voice like you do, listeners? I want that voice again. I want that voice again, Ollie. I want that voice again.
Say that again.
All jokes aside, right?
No,
all jokes aside, I had an absolutely fantastic time.
So better than
I personally, in a long, 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 long time. Listen, I would encourage all of Barbados to go and support the poets and poetry. Everybody there enjoyed themselves. The talent is off the charts. This young man here had the ladies going absolutely crazy.
I
was in the front, man. Listen, there were prizes. People out there, general public, there were prizes. Every 5 minutes, these guys were giving away prizes. Every single 5 minutes. What really, really stood out was just, it was the energy. It was as if everybody was involved. The crowd was involved. The entertainers were involved. My man even asked, man, I think I performed a bit too long, you know, because nobody wanted them to get off his stage.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted them to get off his stage.
And the crowd called back people.
And we all wanted more and more. I think Sun Rock's performance was cut a bit short. Am I right? Because of the time? You ran out of time?
Yes, we ran out of time and the audience said, no, let it continue, please.
Yeah. Honestly, though, Sluggy, listen, I can't wait for the next one. I'm going. And I'll tell you something, right? Uh-huh. When I was younger, I tried to write poetry and I was crap. So he went to, my brother had a lot of albums and he took up one of his albums with Foreigner, copied out one of his songs and gave it to a girl and said, I wrote the poem.
And all you get through. Well, I want to hear the story.
I highly doubt it. Highly doubt it. But I'll tell you something, right? I'm not being honest with you, right? That event stirred up my creative juices. And it has me feeling like I want to do something. And I'm not that. Listen, even my good friends that know me well would tell you, that's not me. That is not me. But listen, those youngsters, Sluggy, the youth and the more mature, because it was a mixture of young. When I say young, I'm talking about 20-something. And more mature people my age and people in their 50s, etc. Like the lady who came out of retirement.
She was fantastic. 62 years old.
Absolutely fantastic. But I'm telling you, Sluggy, anytime you guys go a show, I won't go. And I'm telling Barbados, y'all need to check out. This is a hype talk. This isn't just talk for the public. I'm guaranteeing you, you will have a fantastic. I'm on board 1,000,000%. Anything you want me to do, I would do for you guys because I'm on board 1,000,000%. My hat tips off to each and every one of you performers for that night.
Yeah.
The guy Malachi,
yes,
man, he is amazing. He is infectious. Ruby Tech was fantastic, absolutely fantastic. The lady who did the piece on the exercising,
yes, Ariel Hamilton.
Oh man, listen, I could go on. I don't really have the names. My one advice to you would be, if you can give the public a piece of, it's just a piece of advice, and you don't have to take it, but one verse from one of the poet's pieces to take home with them.
Yeah.
That would really help a lot. I want you, before you go, to give the information, contact mm-hmm. information okay. to Barbados about the poets and about your functions going on. Honestly, right? Mm-hmm. Fantastic, fantastic job. I'm mm-hmm. humbled that you invited me to go.
Yes.
I'm humbled y'all guys invited me to go. I got there early. And as I said, I left there late.
People about the experience, you know. So let me talk about Ollie's experience. So Ollie got there. And when he got there, he was a member of our VIP family. So, you know, he get a cute black armband. He get ushered by some pretty girls to his seat. Also, our thing, you know, we just get him. Poetry Barbados is an ultimate experience.
Yeah, Ollie can speak about, Ollie can care about the art. being real.
I know.
Ollie can care about the art and the performers. You know what I mean? That just Ollie and... That's sad. I love and appreciate yeah. more than I mean. Like, the main thing is always mm-hmm. the main thing. But here we're going on, Ollie, right? So, I have my youths, right?
Uh-huh.
On my way down to St. Peter.
Uh-huh.
So, 20 years ago, I used to do like open mics and like shipping, right?
Yeah.
So, they had this taxi man that would come off your road.
Big right? up the taxi man.
Yeah, he would come on the stairs and chant and thing.
Uh-huh. Wait, the taxi man to do poetry? That's what you're telling me?
Everything and chant.
Wait. We gotta know who this taxi man is, though.
Kurt Brown, the first boy that put me on to read. He used to go there and watch all the Kurt Brown shows and all mm-hmm. that. So there, 20 years ago, show how long I'm doing this, right? So he did carry me down St. Peter, right? So mm-hmm. we went on St. Peter now. They pass from True Town, you know, stop there, we outside talking, you know, we talking and putting the meditation and talking the reasoning and all. So no, inside the stone, like action. So then the man look at me and say, you know how regular people is be home. I need Senate this year.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So you know you would think that most people want hype. And there's a hype man, you know. Then again, you know my crowd, Ollie. You know me, a lot of white ones. There's a hype man. You mm-hmm. might say, you know how bad people is want things like this, that they could get to send that you would feel, man, listen, I could invite my uncle out to this, I could invite my mother, mm-hmm. and they could all worry about the type of entertainment, even if it's edgy.
Mm-hmm.
It can be good. You understand?
Yeah.
Really? That's saying real deep. This saying sure, real. You sure. know how people say things to you sometimes, you know, mm-hmm. callously.
Yeah.
You know, let me down and say, like, you know, that true, though. Like, mm-hmm. one, LaShawn and them know what they're doing. You know what yeah. I mean? Like, here know LaShawn and them, and here know LaShawn and them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, these people know what they're doing. Like, my aunt's right. So you say, like,
well,
you can imagine that you were doing more people. You mm-hmm. will feel well. My event, you know. Got 100 people, you'll feel that is it,
mm-hmm.
right? Not knowing how much other people mm-hmm. they be really watching what you're doing, they'll be so glad. People is want to do things yourself, you know, Ollie.
Mm-hmm.
And people is doing got like the gumption, the heart to do it because of fear or whatever. Because yeah. you don't get tired, the arts dreading Barbados.
It is.
So to see young people mm-hmm. taking this upon themselves to do it, you know what I mean? So you tell you, my dad's white eye, we're mm-hmm. always offering me platforms. I can be warning yeah. people that. You know, some of the young people use the term called bus, you know, like,
yeah.
when your name ringing, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
you obviously wanted people that can holler, just come.
Mm.
You know, the God platform, the God tell me, the God say sluggy, man, stop doing that. You know what I mean? The God mm-hmm. family, because Ollie, being real, it's got so much magic on one.
Yeah,
like,
it's true.
Like, dog, you were got like a bashment, man. Like,
that's the word, magic, like, you're like, right.
Dog, on the radio stations, right? Used to play a song, say it down your throat. Everyone go vulgar, obviously, but that way it was saying, right? That was the mm-hmm. premise of the song, down your throat. And that used to play on every radio station in Bim, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, the person wasn't even good. It was a big hit. I remember talking to a poet at the time. And they songs were real big, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the poet was like, spend time on the craft, you know, like working on things like vocal inflection.
Yeah.
Working on things, reading body language. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say LaShawn up on stage, and she's doing a poem a certain way, but mm-hmm. she realized weird. When they do this, the crowd really into it. Let me see if they get in this mannerism a little bit. Let me see if they get in this facial. Let me see if they get this expression from my face a little bit more. Mind yeah. you may think know that the poet that's studying the words, you know. And mm-hmm. don't think that I bring up these things that come. Hey, these mm-hmm. things poet tell me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's being real. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But then they say, yo, like, Cupid tell myself, listen, right, like a poet studying all of these things when they say a poem.
Yeah.
You know, studying how your face look.
And
studying how your body structure.
Listen, I want to mention something here, no, right?
Vocal inflection.
So you see, now you say that. Let me talk about something right, special that happened on the night.
Good.
So here's what happened on the night that was so special. So we tell DJ Simmons last week that we giving him an award, right? Mm. And we whispered to him, I tell you, well, DJ, you know, we got one for your wife, but... you know what, you think I should tell she? And he was like, nah, boy, don't say a word. So Empress came down there and she had no idea at all that she was getting an award until, and we got to talk about this part, until Cupid did his piece, they called them poet. And you should watch, Zynga was like, wait, hold on a minute. She had a face. And then when she came up, she was like, you see, winner? You see, winner? And I think what made it so special is that Empress Zynga was the first female recipient of the Poetry Barbados Griot Award. And not only that, but she dedicated it to the late Sonia Suzette Williams as well. So Cupid, how was that moment for you? You are Poet of the Year and you presented two Poetry Barbados Griot Awards. How was that moment for you?
Man, it was a beautiful moment because DJ Simmons would have been one of the first people that really put me on to a lot of, I want to say, mature sensibilities when it comes to the craft, because I was already familiar with the craft. Mm-hmm. But with respect to maneuvering in the ecosystem and, you know, really tapping into the cultural zeitgeist of what it is we're doing, he was one of the main people. So when we were ideating who next to give this Poetry Barbados Griot Award to, DJ, I was like, yeah, no, DJ definitely got to be number two. And every time we see DJ, we see Empress, right? And I would see Empress, you know, whispering in the ear. I would see Empress saying certain things. And I would see she playing, she part, she would tech charge when she need to, she would fall back. I would see them compliment one another. And I tell myself, listen, this woman is responsible for a lot of this man's greatness, and this man's responsible for a lot of her greatness, and then they're great on their own as well. And I was like, nah, these people feeding into each other, we got to give them it together, right? So I remixed his poem, They Call Me Poet, and I started with, We Call Them Poet. And I started to mention some performances that she had throughout the years, right? Certain signature lines and crowd favorite pieces. And I'm looking at she in the car, and I'm like, as they're performing, right? And this is she reacting like, wait, you talking about me?
Yeah, I'm talking about you.
Mm-hmm. And then we then switched to DJ. But DJ knew we were talking about him, obviously. But then we welcomed him to the stage and we called their name. And I could see she was overwhelmed with emotion. It was a beautiful moment as she came up to the stage. Obviously, DJ already knew, so he was prepped. DJ
but was what was funny prepped. Is that she told him to dress nice and come down the road, you know. And she said, so on here, can we get a piece of that piece, Cupid?
Sure. We call them poet. The power couple that got the strongest bond. Them hustle not for the week. Every other week, them just let me know what's going on. Now, them used to party down Bruce's Road to dawn. Now, they could cook up a storm of ideas with a fool for thought. Now, one claims she's an empress that could offset traffic from the way she does walk. But don't think she's soft. When she bring these lines out, you will get line out in chalk. She might keep it clean, but do she dirty and she will wash you off. This woman was a boss way before she had employees. And we call she poet. We call him poet. One third of an iron pipe welding in the height of a recession. Maybe that's why he's economical with words, depositing lyrics in our memory banks, building interest with every verse. This might kill so many men, but the microphone should be sponsored by Lynn Hurst. I ain't giving no more.
Listen, before we go, right, Ray, it won't end with you, right? And LaShawn, I want to ask you this question, right? Mm-hmm. For you as the artist, right, as the poet, right? And then watching this production by them, I ain't get to ask them these questions many more times, Corey, nothing. But for you, why in your opinion is important to do shows and productions like this? In your opinion, why do you think is important that we need to keep doing shows and productions such as this?
Well, I think it's important for a number of reasons. Cool. The first one is, people in our circle, the artists out there, they need a stage to get on, the stage that they will be recognized by the island, by the region, and the international community to say, I am here, this is what I have to offer, I have something to say, and be recognized for what they do. Because our circle might be close-knit, but there are others out there with tremendous talent that do not believe that they have a space that they can come and express their art. Mm-hmm. Not a space where that will judge you. Mm. Because our space is not judgmental.
Which is important.
Yeah. Sorry, and we must, and important. I didn't mean to cut, but we must say a huge thank you. I want who, where the cameraman? A huge, big thank you, Julia Kane, if you are listening. Thank you, Julia Kane is the general manager at Cricket Legends. Yes. And she agreed to be the title sponsor. She has given us a home, a very beautiful home for us to do these events. Beautiful and it could not have been possible without Julia and her team. They worked the bar. They had delicious food and everything on the night. And we are so thankful to Cricket Legends of Barbados for being our title sponsors and giving Poetry Barbados a beautiful home. If you were there on the night, you would see Sluggy. Salute. It was gorgeous.
Yeah, salute. And then my peep salutes to Cricket Legends. No, you were saying, when you finish this point before we end the show, you were saying a platform where you are not being judged and why that is imperative for any artist to develop, because that's bigger than we think. As much as you just mentioned that simple, having a platform to express yourself where you're not being judged, bro, mm-hmm. the biggest thing to artists not trying to make it here.
Listen, it's the biggest thing for not just artists, I mean especially artists, but everyday people as well.
Yeah, any form of expression where you can express without being judged, you're correct.
Is it? And the second thing for me mm-hmm. is that this stage, this space, this platform allows people to hear you and mm-hmm. people within that community to help you get better.
Yep.
They're going to tell you
development.
They're going to tell you they're going to tell you what you're doing good, things that you need to adjust to improve yourself, mm-hmm. whether it be how you bring out your words, if you need to be more clear in how you speak, your diction, whether it be if you need to project more to the audience so the people in the back can hear you. Mm. If it is, you need to regulate your speed. Mm. That's something that I had to work on when mm-hmm. I was performing as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I would know my work. I would know my stuff. I mean, it's mine. Mm-hmm. But because I got on stage, I got stage fright, I try to get through it fast.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot
can't wait for it to end.
You understand? And then over time, people like Sun Rock, mm-hmm. Ryan Minister will be mm-hmm. in my ear saying, like, you have the talent, but this is what you need to do in order to be more effective.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got punchlines that if you go too fast, the audience is going to miss it.
Yeah.
So you need to regulate your speed. I know you just get nervous, but you need to find that zone.
Mm-hmm.
I call it a zone. That zone mm-hmm. when you're performing, when you in front of that microphone, where everything else is just white noise, is you, whatever focal point you choose, and your piece,
mm-hmm.
your delivery.
Mm-hmm.
So that this community provides that for you.
Listen, LaShauna, that's a beautiful answer. Ollie, it makes sense getting away further. That's a beautiful answer. Let me just tell Poetry Barbados, mm-hmm. salute to Poetry Barbados. LaShauna, big up you.
Thank you.
Before you go to Slug, I just want him to repeat how people can get in contact with you guys.
Okay, so events, people can follow us on Instagram at Poetry Barbados, which is POETRE Barbados. Mm-hmm. And we now have a WhatsApp number. It is 234-8681. You can WhatsApp us there. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at Poetry Barbados. POETRE Barbados. All you want here, Joe,
we're also on TikTok. Before you close up, we're also on TikTok and on YouTube. At POETRE Poetry Barbados.
Nice.
And if you go on TikTok, you'll see my man Ray going viral with over 14,000 views
and counting.
Yeah.
But all you want here, Joe. So this week I went to a store, right? And I told them that I'm representing Poetry Barbados and I came to collect something. You know, the people asked me if I sell eggs because they had Poetry,
Poetry, yeah, they
Barbados. So when I went and I collected the stuff.
We won't call any names.
When I went and collected the stuff, I asked the guy if I looked like I'm selling eggs. And the man said, man, we could come to the show. I say, yeah, but bring a crate of eggs.
Listen, Poetry Barbados, POETRE Barbados. And of course, I'm going to always tell LaShauna, all of my platforms, you are more than welcome anytime.
Thank you.
Every time you ever go ask, just sell a Sluggy. And you do always answer, although you tell you don't ask, just tell me when you come. you still ask.
Because of the professionalism, you know?
No salute, but you got my commitment forever, you know? Yeah. And I just say
we want to see you up front, say you don't want all in the nice up chairs, though.
Art is a funny thing for me, you know what I mean? And these spaces, you know, like, she ought to be very emotional, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if it come out, no, I don't want to come out where I could just spend a little half hour or saying I want to come if it's a good show from the beginning. And,
yeah.
And sit down towards the end. But I ain't complaining because all he will tell you, like, starting this show and starting this part, I used to pray to be busy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
So, yeah, I know you're busy, so that's good.
I ain't complaining, but what he could tell you,
blessings for overflow.
Whether they get there or not, all of my platforms,
mm-hmm.
I got you back forever. Pushing as hard as possible because
mm-hmm.
Barbados need to hear and see what you all are doing. You get me?
Yeah.
Barbados need to hear and see what you all are doing. And you are brilliant in more than one way. And you sure know that you can control the radio station yourself, the radio show yourself.
Thank you.
It's another space, you know what I mean? And LaShawn, I know you're young and you're keep it young, but trust your old uncle, don't start growing, you know what I mean? And don't start going to explore many different horizons and reach as far as you could reach, girl. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
Ollie, and I sure I could say, I could speak for Ollie, like, you got our support forever. And as long as we here and they allow us to do what we're doing, you know, where we have 100% creative license, Ollie and I, that we can shape any type of show we want, which mm-hmm. is thank Starcom for Ollie and VOB.
Yeah.
And you got home here.
Thank you so much. It means a lot to me, you know,
yeah.
Because I hear having my whole, you know, circle of life moment, because a lot of people know that years ago I wanted to be a broadcaster.
You tell me that, right?
Yeah, I wanted to be a broadcaster bad and I get rejected, you know, yeah. I was told I got the voice. But you see my VOB ladies and gentlemen, I love Winner because Winner telling me that I got the voice now, though.
You hear it more once and. Here this year, no, LaShawn, and Cupid, like, I get rejected too, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, enough, but no, I used to go out and reject people, you know what I mean? I used to beg to come on radio, and no people beg me to come on here.
It's so, true.
Don't stop.
Full circle.
Don't stop, yeah.
It sounds like Stuggy doing some poetry, not to win up. Yeah.
Bajan, rhythm and rhyme every single Saturday. Thanks for the extra time, Ollie. Barbados, we can take the calls today, but don't dig nothing next week. We can got a later schedule. Mm-hmm. You know, and beg LaShawn to come back and we can got a later schedule. We can trade not much guests and just have some conversations and mm-hmm. take some calls. I love Winner. Poetry Barbados, Poetre Barbados. And I'm out.